And we turn to God's Word, 1 Kings, chapter 17. And we will read the first 6 verses. 1 Kings, chapter 17. Verses 2 through 6 will be our text. And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, As the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Get thee hence, and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. So he went and did according to the word of the Lord. For he went and he dwelt by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever, and may he bless the reading and the preaching of it. James chapter 5, verse 17, Elijah was a man subject to like passions as we are. And he prayed that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. Last week we looked at Elijah's prayer and his declaration of war. That it might not rain. How could he do that? What a terrible petition to bring to the Lord. What suffering, what want would that entail? The land would be turned into a desolate wilderness, and the people would be severely hurt, and probably many died by that famine. Was Elijah some kind of cold, callous stoic who had no feelings, no sympathy? No. James 5, verse 17, he is a man of like passions as we are. But he is one who stood before the Lord. He knew the word of the Lord in Deuteronomy 11 and Deuteronomy 28. The Lord's wrath upon you, and he will shut up heaven, and therefore there will be no rain. The heavens will be like brass, and the earth like iron. You see, he's not guided in his prayers or actions by natural affections or sympathies, but he is guided by the word of God. Not that he is without feeling, but he put the glory of God and the word of God before his own natural feelings. And I want to apply that in this introduction a moment. We too need to put the word of God before our own natural feelings. And so Elijah announced, no rain. Now what? Now what? He brought God's word. Now what is he going to do? Verse 2, God's word comes to him. Get thee hence and hide thee thyself by the brook Cherith. That's the word of God. Get thee hence. Hide thyself by the brook Cherith. So, my sermon title, At Cherith. Elijah at Cherith, notice the Lord's command. Second of all, the Lord's provision. And then thirdly, in the way of obedience. And the word of the Lord came unto him. How blessed that is. How blessed the word of the Lord came to him. And yet, that's not likely to be perceived very easily until we look closer. It's blessed because the Lord leads his servant step by step. It's a path of faith. Faith opposed to sight. You see, it was not the Lord's will to reveal to Elijah how the next 3.5 years or the rest of his life is going to appear to him. No. Not the whole path, but one step at a time. So that, as he leads us also by step, we may be dependent upon him, looking to him, have courage. I'm thankful the Lord did not show me all the consequences of my calling, either in my first denomination or in the second denomination. I think I would have been afraid. No, the Lord goes by step. Where would this obedience of Elijah lead him? He didn't know. Nor was that his concern. Just one day at a time. He was to obey. And God would make known to him what he should do next. Application. Beloved, here is an important lesson for us. How often don't we try to direct our own path? We have an idea in our mind and we're going to pursue it. Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not upon thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him and he shall direct thy paths. So the Lord is going to direct Elijah step by step. And the word of the Lord came unto him. I want you to notice in that short little phrase, it does not say here the will of the Lord was revealed to him or that the mind of the Lord was known to him. No, the word of the Lord came unto him. Application. There's a lot of pious talk about obtaining or discovering the Lord's will, but doing it without consulting his word. My old denomination, they were determined. They wanted to grow by 2,000 to such and such a number. Or they were determined they would get women in office. Now there's a group determined to get those who are in perverse sexual ways as members and pastors and elders and deacons. And then they're going to say, this is the Lord's will. That's nothing more than a vague personal agenda, personal impulse. God's mind, God's will is made known in his word, and he never, never consents or wills anything to us that clashes with that word. And the word of the Lord came unto him. Get thee hence. He is sent into oblivion. Hide thyself. Now, no doubt that was a safe place. He is sent from the wrath of an angry king and a wicked queen. You and I don't have to use our imaginations to know what that wicked pair, Ahab and Jezebel, would do, or what that host of the prophets of Baal would do, or even what the apostate people would do when their farms are burning up and there's no food on their table. Oh, they'd love to get hold of that troublemaker and string them up. Get rid of them, and our troubles will be all over. So yes, the Lord is putting him in a safe place, But that does not explain the whole situation, does it? Because the Lord is able to keep his prophet safe right in the midst of the enemy. And we're going to see that, the Lord willing, next week when he is sent right into the territory of Jezebel, Sidon. The Lord is able to keep his prophet safe anywhere. So why? Why is he sent into isolation? I submit to you for two reasons. He is sent into solitary confinement for his own sake in order to learn that he as a man is of no significance. Yes, yes, he brought the word of God. But that's still the Lord's work, isn't it? And when the servant has performed his calling, he shouldn't be anxious about the outcome or the results of it. It's not for him to worry about, is there going to be an increase? Always the servant is to keep his calling to bring God's word, and always there will be those who don't like that word that he brings. The servant must be kept humble. Sent into isolation. He could have done so much, couldn't he? He brought the word to Ahab and Jezebel, and now how about if he could follow up? Apply that word. Bring that word to the masses so that they realize what's happening and they will rebel against that wicked king and queen. Oh, there was so much for him to do, but the Lord's command is, get thee hence, hide thyself. He brings God's word, and then the Lord causes him to disappear. Isn't that true of some of the most capable, most endowed servants? They labored only for a little while. Think a moment of John the Baptist. There he cried out, "Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world." And about a half year later, he's taken away, he's in prison, and he's put to death. Or think of Paul the Apostle, thrown into prison, given a thorn in the flesh, lest he be too exalted, too proud. He's kept from being come too great a man. You see, the servant must not stand in the way of his master. So there is Elijah, off into some rather lonely place all by himself. Solitary confinement. Off into that place all by himself for some 12 months. Not a crowd cheering him on, not a grandstand, not a lot of thanks for doing his job. Boys and girls, think of Elijah stuck out there in that barren wilderness by himself 12 months. Elijah might have thought, "Thanks a lot, Lord. I do your work and this is what I get? Isolation, solitary confinement?" Isn't that what happened to Joseph, boys and girls? He was a loyal servant in Potiphar's house, and what does he get for it? He gets thrown into the prison. Moses kills an Egyptian who is whipping a servant. And later on, he separates two Israelites from fighting each other. What does he get for it? He has to flee for his life, and for 40 years, he has to take care of some sheep. Long periods of time, aren't they? David killed Goliath, killed all those Philistines, and what does he get for it? He has to flee for his life, hiding in the caves in the wilderness. Application. Yes, beloved, often standing in God's word brings loneliness. If you take God's word seriously, saying, "Here I stand," it's lonely. Others will have no place for you. It's a lonely place for an individual, and it can be a lonely place for a church to take a strong stand in God's word. Take a strong stand for God's word amongst some of your family members. They don't want you to have word pretty soon anymore. Take a strong stand in God's word with some of your fellow employees, and they'll shun you. It can be a very lonely thing. For Elijah, God says, "Get thee hence, hide thee by Kareth," for his own self. How important is he? He's only a servant who stands before God, and he may not get in the way of the master. But, second of all, Elijah is sent into oblivion, not just for his own sake, but also as a testimony against Israel, which was, we heard last week, the apostate church. What is the most valuable gift God can give his people? It's the bestowment of his word and spirit. It's the sending of his servants to teach and apply that word of God. What do we read in Romans chapter 10, verses 14 and 15? "How shall they hear without a preacher? Beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace." And the greatest disaster that can come to any people is God's withdrawal of his ministers. The famine in Ahab's kingdom was a divine scourge. It was a picture of the famine of God's word. And therefore God commanded his prophet, "Get thee hence, hide thyself." The removal of the ministers of God's truth is a sure sign of God's displeasure, God's judgment with his people that have provoked him to anger. "Get thee hence, hide thee by the brook Kareth." That Hebrew word for hide there is a different word than that of Rahab's hiding the spies. The word that is used here really means absent thyself. Remove yourself from this people. Psalm 74 begins with a question. "O God, why hast thou cast us off forever? Why does thine anger smote against the sheep of thy pasture?" And the answer comes in verses 7 through 9. "They have cast fire in thy sanctuary. They have defiled by casting down the dwelling place of thy name to the ground. They have said in their hearts, 'Let us destroy them together.' They have burned up all the synagogues of God in the land. We see not our signs. There is no more any prophet, neither is there among us any that knoweth how long." The public means of grace was removed, and it was a sign of God's displeasure upon his apostate church, Israel. Application. We need to realize that in our day, there is no more sure sign of God's displeasure than that God is hiding his face than we no longer have faithful ministers. Let's think about that in this time when there is a shortage of ministers and only a few students in the seminary. God's displeasure, he takes his word away. God hid Elijah from Israel, the apostate church. He says, "Get thee hence, hide thee." After Malachi brings his word of God to the church after they were brought back from Babylon, there are all kinds of sins going on. What? there was 400 years of silence. Boys and girls, young people, think about your church history. Think of the dark ages before the Reformation, when all the people would hear on Sunday is little homilies, and that usually in a language that they couldn't understand. There was an ignorant people with an ignorant priesthood. As the church today apostatizes, God will withdraw his word. Oh, there will be prophets. There was lots of prophets in Elijah's day, the 450 prophets of Baal. But the true prophets were hid in caves, or one of them is hid by the brook Kereth. There's many prophets today. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap up to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned to fables. There's plenty of pastors. But what do their sermons quite often amount to? Cute jokes, trying to keep up with entertainment of Hollywood. And we're not entertainers. There's a silencing of the word of God. And as Hosea says, my people perish for lack of knowledge. God will withdraw faithful and true teaching in apostate churches. Through Moses, the Lord declared, we find it in Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 12, verse 2. Deuteronomy 32, verse 2. My doctrine shall drop as the rain, my speech shall distill as the dew, as the small rain upon the tender herbs, and as the showers upon the grass. And now, as the dew and the rain was to be held from Ahab's land, not only literally, but spiritually as well, the word of God was removed. Amos chapter 8, verses 11 and 12. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord God, that I will send a famine in the land. Not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but of the hearing of the words of the Lord. And they shall wander from sea to sea, and from north unto the east. They shall run to and fro to seek the word of the Lord, and shall not find it. What is Kereth all about? Why is the prophet Elijah sent to that isolated spot? And the answer is, the Lord is removing his word from the apostate Israel. Application. Pray, beloved. Pray that there will not be today a famine of God's word. As churches are closing down, as more and more ministers are telling fables and jokes to try to get the people to come once in a while, pray that in our midst there may not be a famine of the word. Pray for young men called by God to prepare themselves for the gospel ministry. God's command, go. Hide thyself, absent thyself at the brook Kereth. Second point. At Kereth, notice the Lord's provision. In this land of wrath and judgment, where there's no rain and there's no dew, everything drying up, the Lord provides for his people and delivers them out of trouble. Kereth. A deep gully, ravine, rocky, through which the waters from the mountains in Ephraim, probably flowing underneath ground, finally find surface, and there's this little brook that runs down by the river. Hide thyself at the brook. Not a nice big river to collect all the water that you want. A little brook. A little brook of water which for only a year trickles through that valley. And the Lord says, I've given commandment. I command the ravens to bring my servant bread and flesh. Boys and girls, can you picture that a moment? Ravens. They're not a pretty bird. If you see a raven, quite often it is on the road picking off the roadkill. They're kind of vultures, not pleasant. The Lord says, I have given command to these ravens to give thee flesh and bread. People laugh at this miracle. Ravens are not those kind of animals that gladly give their food to something else. Oh, they will take their roadkill and they will bring it to their young in the nest. Unbelief tries to explain that away. There are those who look at that and they say, well, that's a poetic term that is used there. In other words, Elijah has to be a scavenger out there for himself in the desert trying to get food wherever way he can. Just a poetic figure here. Or others, I remember when I was in college, explained it. Yes, of course the ravens are bringing food to their young, and can you now picture Elijah? He has to go up into those nests and try to grab a little bit of that meat before the little birds eat it all. Again, it's all Elijah being inventive and figuring out how he's going to stay alive. Because unbelief refuses to believe in miracles. Unbelief refuses to believe that God will provide. Such unbelief is foolish, isn't it? Cannot God raise the dead? Why is it unable to believe then that God command his ravens to feed his servant? Is he not the creator of heaven and earth? Is he not sovereign over all of his creatures, even those ravens? He causes the clouds to gather, the rain to fall, the sun to shine, or he withholds it. He causes the crops to grow, and without his word, they wither. Why is it hard to believe that he sends his ravens to feed his servant? Job 38, verse 41. God is speaking to Job, and he says, who provideth for the ravens his food? And now the Lord provides for his servant by means of ravens. Don't you think that God knows how to save his people from this present world? How he knows how to take care of them? We heard that this morning, didn't we? He leads us. His hand holds us. And God provides for each day, doesn't he? There's not a large storehouse already there that he goes there and he finds a whole lot of grain stored up. No. We read, the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank from the brook. Each day, day after day. And so we also need to look to God in dependence every day. That's what we pray in the Lord's Prayer, right? Jesus has taught us, give us this day our daily bread. God uses instruments of his choosing. God has 10,000s of angels. He could have sent them down to give Elijah food, but no. He says, I'm going to use ravens. Don't despair of his instruments. If you're sick, don't despair of the instruments that God is pleased to use, medicine or doctors. If you're financially hurting, don't despise of a family then, members that help you out, or the church when she helps you out. Don't be too proud to receive those gifts. It's the Lord providing for you. Don't despise his instruments. Fourthly, don't despise the provisions. Bread and flesh in the morning, bread and flesh in the evening. Bread and flesh this day, bread and flesh 7 days in the week. And for 4 weeks in a row, or 4 weeks, 4 weeks in each month, 12 months, bread and flesh. Do you remember the Israelites? 40 years in the wilderness, and God sent manna from heaven, and even gave them bird food to eat. And remember their grumbling and complaining? Where are the leeks and the cucumbers and the garlic of Egypt? Better is a little that the righteous have than the riches of many wicked. Psalm 37, verse 16. Don't despise it. There's Elijah sitting out in this little gully ravine all by himself. Bread and flesh in the morning, bread and flesh in the evening. And Elijah, a man of like passions with us, might think, this is for the birds. I mean ravens. But no. This is for his servant. The Lord is providing richly for his servant. Always. Always the Lord cares for us, doesn't he? When we're talking about the Lord's provision, yes, we can think about the daily food that is on our table, but what about the spiritual provisions? The word of God's mouth, the scriptures, and oh, to drink of the rivers of his pleasure in Christ Jesus, what a fountain! Always, the Lord delivers his people from all the trials of this life. Elijah, get thee hence, go down to the brook of Kirith and hide thyself. The Lord's preparing Elijah. While I would hate to be in that kind of situation of solitary confinement for a week, let alone for a year, each day Elijah waits upon the Lord. The Lord providing for him in the morning, and the Lord providing with him, for him in the evening. And what time he has to contemplate, to think about the word of God that he had laid up in his heart. He knew the scriptures, and he's able to quote them. What beautiful preparation for the time that he is going to use that word later on again. And you and I need also that time of separation from everything else so that we also can meditate upon God's word. I find people today so afraid of having just silence in the house. Either the radio is blaring or the television is on, just needing noise. Do you have a quiet time? A quiet time when you get yourself out of the busyness of the family, of your work, of recreation, where you just dwell on God's word, you and God. Thinking on his word, resting in the Lord's goodness. He's being prepared here. When he has to go from these unclean animals, that's what ravens are, unclean animals. He has to go from unclean animals to unclean people. The very next place he's going to go is not in Israel, but it's in the territory of Jezebel, Zarephath. You and I need our times of Kereth to examine and prepare ourselves for our labors. Isn't that why Sunday is so special to us? Time out. Time out from our busyness of work and play. Time out to spend with our families in God's Word. We begun the day corporately in worship. We end the day corporately in worship. And many of us are going to go to our Bible studies tonight, and we're going to discuss again what the communion of saints is and how we can help each other. We're being prepared so that we may go forth from this place of worship to serve the Lord in our daily lives. Whether it be you boys and girls or young people in school or you fathers at work or the mothers with your work and home, you're being built up, you're being fed today in order that you may go about your labors. So the Lord says to his prophet Elijah, time out a minute. You brought my word, and now I'm going to hide you for a while. Yes, for yourself, so that you may meditate upon my goodness, how I take care of you, and I will continue to take care of you in the future when you bring my word. And that's getting ahead of ourselves when he brings his word again. No, he's not applauded by everyone. Instead, his life is sought. A lonely place. Always, always the Lord delivers his people out of and in the midst of trouble. He delivers his people out of their corruption, out of their guilt, out of their sin. The Lord knows how to deliver his elect people. He calls light out of darkness. He brings righteousness out of damnation, holiness out of corruption, glory out of shame, life out of death. God does that through his Son, Jesus Christ. That's the glory of God's grace, isn't it? How we need him. We and our sins, our foolishness, depravity, weak children. We need God to be strong for us with his hand to take us out of our troubles, our pain, our sin. And he does it. He does it all for the sake of Jesus Christ, our Savior. And it is of that grace that these wonders that are done are signs. In the morning, the ravens, these unclean birds who would naturally try to snatch food away, are God's servants to bring flesh and bread to Elijah, and in the evening again. And what about God's people? Elijah's not the only one of them. There are 100 of prophets hid in the caves by Obadiah. There is another 7,000, God tells Elijah later on, who have not bowed the knee to Baal. What about them? Is God's church going to perish at this time, that remnant that is in the midst of apostate Israel? No. No. God calls them out and separates them like he did his prophet Elijah at Kereth to feed them. Perhaps Elijah stood there by that little brook, gazing at those skies of brass and that earth of iron. Maybe he had a few trees that he could shade himself by. But as he sees the Lord providing for him day after day after day, he hears the Lord saying, "I am the Lord of hosts. I know how to deliver the godly out of temptations. I know how to deliver my church out of a world that is reserved to the day of judgment to be punished." God says to Elijah, "I have commanded my ravens to feed thee." And even Elijah, even as I keep thee and save thee in the midst of the land of wrath, so I know how to deliver all my people. So careth means the Lord provides. He cares, he guides, and he preserves his church. That's the second commandment. The Lord's command, the Lord's provision. The third, in the way of obedience. In the way of obedience. It's beautiful how one may trust in the Lord. As the psalmist said, "Commit thy way unto the Lord, and he will bring it to pass." We are able to cast our burdens, our daily cares upon the Lord because he cares for us. We may seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and the rest will be provided for us. One is able to live out of the hand of God day by day in a childlike confidence. But notice what the Lord says, "The ravens will feed thee there." The ravens will feed thee there. There alone, it's in the way of obedience. Oh, if you want to follow your own lusts, if you hanker after all the pleasures and all the treasures of the world, the pride of life, they're out there. But there you will not find the Lord's grace to help you. There's a song that maybe you young boys and girls have learned in school. Trust and obey. For there's no other way to be happy in Jesus than to trust and obey. Go, Elijah, hide thee at the brook Cherith, and there will be your portion morning and evening in the way of complete dependence and trust, in the way of obedience. Beloved, let's apply this. Out there right now in the world, in this materialistic world, there is an abundance of things, aren't there? There is the prosperity of the wicked all around us. But can the abundance of the wicked compare to the peace and the joy, the trust and the confidence that crowns the experience that God provides for his own in love? Elijah is out there at the brook Cherith, lonely perhaps, but not forsaken. There, nowhere else, there the Lord has commanded his ravens to feed you. There alone. And Elijah, believing the word of the Lord, he doesn't reason with his own mind and say, "But I can do this and I can do that and I can do this and perhaps I can find fellow saints who will give me plenty to eat. Perhaps if I leave the country completely, I'll be safe." But the words of the Lord was, "Go to Cherith and there will I care for thee." Application. It is in the way of the Lord. It is in the way of obedience alone that we can eat the bread of the Lord's loving kindness. It is in the way of obedience that we taste that the Lord is good. For there and there alone, the Lord has commanded his ravens to feed his servant. In the way of obedience, there, where has the Lord called you? Perhaps when you were dating, that young man looked like Prince Charming. And you're married a couple years and you find out, he's a frog, he's a tyrant. Should you leave him? In the way of obedience, go there. The place that God has appointed for you. A marriage that is unbreakable. You long for children, and the Lord has given you a house full of children, and then there's some days you'd like to pull your hair out. This one's fighting, and this one's yelling, and this one's crying, and you say, is there any end of it? Can I just leave them? It seems impossible that a mother could ever forsake her children, the Bible says, but yes, that even sometimes happens. Terrible. No, there's not the joy. But it is in the calling of a mother to her children. There the Lord will provide for her. And she will taste that the Lord is good. What calling has the Lord given to you, young people? You're students right now. Oh, do you like school? Maybe not. But that's your calling. And it is there, go there in your calling that the Lord will bless you. Trying to escape it, not doing your homework, you will not realize God's blessings. In the way of obedience. Psalm 73, the wicked prosper. And the poor psalmist, he looks at those wicked and he says, I serve God for nothing. Until he went into God's house. And then he saw their end. God has put him on slippery places. No, there's no grace for the wicked. There's not even the grace of daily bread or sunshine or rain. Oh, there's bread and sunshine and rain, but not in grace, but in wrath. There is no grace if we walk in the way of disobedience. There's only terrible wrath of God. We'll experience that. But in the way of faith, in the way of obedience to God's word, we will eat the bread of God's loving kindness. Elijah, go. Hide thyself at the brook Cherith. May God make us obedient children. May God give us his grace so that we walk in his word, his leading us, blessing us, delivering us from the land of wrath that we live in. Yes, in the way of obedience. God's command, go to the brook Cherith, a nasty place, really. Isolation, solitary confinement. Fed by unclean animals, the Lord provides for his servant in the way of obedience. Amen. Father in heaven, we thank thee that on this Sunday we could hear thy word about thy loving care and rule for thy people. We have received so much. We pray that we may continue to hear thy word. Give us faithful men to preach that word. To bring that word in a way so that we can apply it to our own lives. We thank thee for Elijah's obedience. He went and he remained there, provided by his God. And so, Father, we go on our way. in the calling that thou hast given to us, young and old. And in that calling, being obedient, we will taste and we will see that the Lord is good. Bless thy word as it has been brought again this evening. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's turn in our Psalters to number 68. Grace